no. I don't know what you're
talking about. This one is no?
That one is no.
Avram, keep my covenant. Leka,
the cannot, that a woman cannot circumcise. Why? The isha lav bat milai, because she can. She Avram was male in the first of Avram, but a woman is not circumcised. Ulaman damar himo limo. But if it says he who was circumcised can circumcise, ika the isha command the miladamya, because a woman is like as is like she circumcised because she has no foreskin. So the Gemara says. So you say one view a woman can circumcise, according to another view she can. Umi ikar laman damar isha lo. Is there one who says a woman can't circumcise? Vaktiv, after all it's written, Vatikach Tzipora, so that Tzipora took a flint stone and used it to circumcise her son. So the Gemara says, Kribe Vatuka, that it was taken. We'll see what I mean. What it means actually is that she asked somebody else to take it. Not that she took it herself. She gave the orders. Vaktiv Vatichor, it says that she cut. Doesn't mean literally that she cut. No, kribe v'tikaret. What does that mean? It means the amrar inish achil of avad. It's true that the pasuk says that she did it, but it doesn't mean that she did it herself. But she gave the orders. V'baydem, and another alternative interpretation is atya ihi v'atchala, that she started. She came and she started the circumcision. V'ata Moshe v'avra, and Moshe came along and he finished it up. Okay. Let's look now at the Tosfot in source number 16. Isha lav bat milai. It says a woman is not bat milai. Means she is not circumcised. Yesh lefsok kerav ve'ein isha kshera lamudet. So it seems, says Tosfot, that this machloket between Rav and Shmuel about whether a woman can indeed perform circumcision or not. Yesh lefsok rav, we should rule like the more stringent opinion of Rav. Ve'ein isha kshera lamud, the woman is not kshera lamud. The afal gad, because even though normally the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, when there's a machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, v'alach Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, but here, halacha k'rav, the halacha should be like Rav. Why? The baraita, the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, kaimikavatei. Because after all, then the whole discussion we started off by the verse of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, which is he's the Tana, and he comes out seemingly like Rav, who said you learn from the verse vata ebriti shmor that males fulfill the covenant. I mean, the males can do circumcision and not women. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi brought that same verse. Avol bala lachat gedolot, but the bala lachat gedolot pasag di isha kshera lamud. The rabba lachat disagreed, and he doesn't hold that way. He holds that a woman is kosher to circumcise. Okay, so we see that there's a fundamental machloket. How we paskin here? Do we paskin like a Rav? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? And it's a machloket. How do you paskin? The Rav, now, so he just says, and now Tosfos adds an interesting aside. So he says, the Rav, the Amar, ain't akshel lamud, according to the Rav, who says that a woman cannot do the circumcision. Sarich lefaresh, the pair of contribution, that which the Gemara in Kedusha wants to know, is a mother, we learned this last week, is a mother required to take care of her son's circumcision? And what do we say? We said no, because the verse said what? Oto, that kashet siva oto, then when it says by Yitzhak, that Abraham circumcised, it says, and God and Abraham circumcised the son, kashet siva oto elokim. And the Gemara says, oto, vola ota. The God commanded him, because it should say kashet siva, but he wasn't kashet siva oto, and he was commanded to circumcise the son, and not his wife, son. So, but if it weren't for that pasuk, we would have thought that what? That she would. She then crossed me. We doubt the word. What's the mitzvah to say? She's my grandma. Not mitzvah that we discussed that last week. So he says, I don't understand. If a woman can't circumcise, what does it mean that she would be out, that she can't do the circumcision? So Tosfos then gives the question, maybe, the answer may be so obvious you don't understand the question. just, if how could God have, if she can't do the circumcision, how could God have possibly commanded her? So Tosfos gives the obvious answer. The matzrich oto v'lo ota the medrash. What do we need the verse to command him and not her? She'ena chayevet namul v'na haynu levakesh l'mano. She hasn't given the responsibility. She can't circumcise, says Rav. But maybe she's commanded to make sure, as a mother, as a parent, to make sure her son is circumcised. She can't do it, but she's obligated to make sure he's circumcised. The pasuk says no. She has no, does not the responsibility though. Okay. That's why, even though she's not obligated to circumcise, even though she's not obligated to circumcise, even though, even according to Rav, who says that she couldn't, she can't personally do the circumcision, nevertheless, she, we might have thought that she was responsible to make sure her son was circumcised, comes the verse, Oto, Keshet Tziva Oto, that Abraham was commanded, not Sarah, that she has no responsibility to make sure that her son is circumcised. Let's look now at the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Kol shirim namur." Anyone can circumcise. Okay. The Rambam paskins that anyone can circumcise. Vafilu arel, ve'eved, ve'isha, ve'katan. Anyone can circumcise. That's how the Rambam paskins. Whether you're not circumcised, a Jewish male who's not circumcised himself, or a non-Jewish slave to a Jew who is a demi-Jew, because he has some mitzvot, and a woman and a minor, malin b'makom she'ein shamish. They can all circumcise in a place where there is not a male available. What does that mean? That if there is a male available, it takes precedence. But akum lo yimofla, an akum, a non-Jew, does not circumcise at all. The imal, but if he circumcised, ain tzarich lachzor lemoshniya. You don't have to circumcise again because de facto the kid's circumcised. That's a separate question. Okay, that you're right. That maybe that's called a tafid dambrit. I don't want to go there. But he says the Rambam says non-Jews are not allowed to circumcise. Kids, but if they circumcise, like the kid's born circumcised, and he's de facto circumcised. But I don't want to go, this is a big machlokah, what do you have to do in such a case? You don't have to break, you know. But anyway, what the Rambam says is a chiddush, that if you're Jewish, of any size, any gender, you can circumcise. Right? But all of a sudden he sticks in sort of as a side comment, if there's no male around. Where do we see that? Any rough discussion, we said questions, can a woman circumcise or not circumcise? Right? But what is this? Why does male, if you said a woman can circumcise, why does a male have precedence? Okay. But the Rambam says it. Okay? So now we're going to see three possible interpretations of why a male has priority in the circumcision. Okay? Source number 18. You wouldn't come to the answer. No. I'll come to your answer in a second. We'll explain it. Well, I don't want to explain it now. That essentially is source. Yes, source number 19. This is what Menachem Rabinowitz says. Menachem Rabinowitz says, sure, a woman can circumcise. Yes, the Rambam holds a woman can circumcise. However, But it's better that a man circumcise because men have communal responsibility to make sure other people are circumcised. Women don't have that responsibility. Yes, she can do it. But a man has responsibility in circumcising his sons, his part of begging to circumcise other people not circumcised. He has that mitzvah to circumcise others. That's why if there's a male around, we do because it's better than a one who's obligated to do it. That's source number 19. Yadapshut of Nachum Rabinowitz, he says, Niret tam adifuta ish, af api shegam isha kshira, umepne she ish metzuve lamu lachirim, she im lo malo aviv, kol ish Yisrael chayav lamu. Because then every other male has the obligation to help him to be circumcised. Abul isha, im achayav lamu lachirim. So therefore, if it's a question of being involved in the meal, we give that priority first to to men, I'm sorry. Let's go back and look at source number 18. The Rabbi Yosef Kappach put out a fantastic edition of the Rambam based on early manuscripts with his comments. Okay. Katata Prichadash. Prichadash wrote, in a midak shinan bashas, since we saw in the Gemara, lemandama ishalo, the Gemara asked, how could anybody say that a woman can't circumcise? Why, what was the question? Gemara asks. After all, we see that Tzipora did a circumcision. And the question was asked according to whom? Only according to the one who said that a woman can't circumcise. Mashma de la mandama ishak shela. Clearly, according to the woman, that a woman, according to the view that a woman can circumcise, the shelalamu, nicha, the aim lakzar harish. What's the problem? According to the Rambam, a woman can circumcise. Yet the Rambam all of a sudden sticks in the Chiddush to what? That a man has priority. So therefore, why does the Gemara ask the question only according to the one who says a woman can't circumcise at all? According to the Rambam, even if a man, if a woman can't circumcise, but she doesn't have priority, a man has a priority. So the question should be also, why did Tzipora circumcise? After all, Moshe was around. He should have had priority. He should have gone first. Why did she circumcise? Dimlo came to Chita, because otherwise the question is about both of them. The lean nivet, it would seem to me, Dimishum the ikut studim lifsokara. Now the reason why the Rambam says to give a man priority is because there's good reason that we might think that Allah is that a woman can't circumcise at all. Remember, there's a machloket in this book. Right? There's a machloket in the Gemara between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, lifsokarav. Just like Tosu says, that maybe we should really possibly like Rab with the stringent position because there's the view of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that way. Mishum the Braita, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi kind of kavati, because the Braita of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi comes out according to him. Mishumachi Safi Hani Rabbavata. Therefore, these scholars, like the Rambam and those who quote him, the Lechatkila Chayshim and the Chazar Achayish. Therefore, we go after a male first. I was debating about it, but there's no male around. Samchim in haklal of the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the Bidon of Machlok, the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halachic in Rabbi Yochanan, the halachic in Rabbi Yochanan, the Isha Kshirim of the woman, a woman can circumcise, can circumcise. All right, that's his first. So then, let's put it there. If Kappach's answer is a what? They deep down, and the Rambam was worried because there's a Machlok in there, between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. And even though he passed like Rabbi Yochanan, he was worried. And maybe the halach is a little bit like rat, so therefore, he said, if you have a choice, prefer a male. The Yadav Shuta source 19 said that women can circumcise, but a male has priority because males are obligated to circumcise, women are not obligated, they can circumcise. They have no obligation, therefore preferably give it to a male who fulfills an obligation. Look at source number 20, which is a very cute answer. Source number 20, Tamayu Mishum Shalashitat HaRambam Eina Yichola Levarech V'Lomar B'Tzimanu Kima Shalom Tzimanu. That's a cute answer. What does he say? That if a male woman circumcises, she can circumcise, because technically it's very wrong. But since she's not Mitzuvah V'Osah, she can't make a bracha. So you'll lose the bracha when she circumcises.
The
law
doesn't say anything.
It's not Ma'akim. But you lose something when she circumcises. While a man who circumcises makes the bracha al amina. Yes?
The standard bracha, male father, male law. It's the father who makes the
bracha. The chisay makes the bracha, so we'll be for Shabbat. The loyal says the al amina, and the father really says the chisay will be for the Shabbat amina, and then he does the priya, and then he may not be the shekhiyah.
But is the tzivan along the father al amina?
The Tzivanu is an Am Yisrael, but the Rambam holds that you can't make a bracha on something you're not personally committed. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam, remember the Ashkenazi view. So that's the Ashkenazi view, but this is the Rambam. The Rambam says give male priority. The question is why? So Quran says Makna, because that's the Rambam Lishitato. That a male who circumcises can make a bracha. A woman who circumcises, if the woman circumcises, that's a good circumcision. But you lose the brachas, therefore, we prefer, for not for real reason, for bracha reasons, to give the male the prayer. That's a very cute, right? It's a cute answer, right?
The same thing
I'm reading. What? The
plane.
It's
the
same thing. But why don't you read that for another?
I was with the Jewish.
I plan to do it very soon. I think that's the next time we're going to discuss. I got to forgot to prepare it, but I think it's the next time we're going to do it. Things have been very tight in my house. I'm sort of like a week ahead of you guys. So. All right. Source number 21. Okay. You know what? That's the major. Let's skip down to 22. Skip down to 22. Don't worry about 20. Let's skip down to 22. 22. Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Yom Edea, Sim Reish Tav Dalet, Sim Aleph. Kol Sherim. Kol Sherim Namun. All. Now the Shulchan Aruch is really according to the Rambam's view. Hakocher lemul afilu eved isha v'katan v'arel Yisrael shemetu achiv macham emilah. We're talking about arel, not somebody who's an apostate. That's a different problem. He's not circumcised, as the Shulchan Aruch, because he refuses to circumcise. He's not circumcised because he's a hemophiliac, because it's pikuach nefesh for him to be circumcised. Im yesh Yisrael gadol shiyodei lemul. Who called him the Kula? That says the Shulchan Aruch, just like the Rambam, that if there is a male Jew who knows how to circumcise, he has priorities. Now, in parentheses, which is the Ramosha Yishalish, V'yesh or Omrim, V'yisha lo tamu. There are those who are of the opinion that a woman shouldn't circumcise at all. And that's the view of the Smak and the God Mordechai, because they pass him like Rav. They're the dissenting opinion. They pass him like Rav, that women shouldn't circumcise at all. So it says the Ramah, V'chein no'agin la'adir achar ish. And we are what? V'chein no'agin la'adir achar ish. We are careful to go to look for a male. Hold on for a second. Now there's a problem. Let me just finish here. Just hold that in abeyance, okay? Now I'll come back to this point. Let me just finish up the last section. A non-Jew, even if he is self-circumcised, that's irrelevant, because it wasn't known. Lo yimol klal, should not circumcise at all. V'mal ein tzarich lazov lemol pam sheni. And if he what? If he's circumcised, you don't have to circumcise or do anything to the child again. Now comes the Ramah, he says what? V'yesh omrim d'chayavim lachzor v'latif mimenu d'amri. So there, that's a machloket between Svardim and the Ashkenazim. The Svardim pass like the Rambam, that you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing, right? And the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, passing that you do, you have to hataf like d'amri. You have to do something. So that there's an act which makes it for the mitzvah of circumcision. Okay. You would imagine that the same sort of machloket would be if the kid's born circumcised. The same machloket. The Sfaradim would probably say, no, he doesn't have to be circumcised. And I don't remember off the top of my head. I apologize, but it makes sense that it's the same sort of machloket. Sfaradim would say you don't have to do anything. Ashkenazim say you have to do a tefillah d'amri. Okay, so let's now come back to what we just read. We read the beginning of 22. We just said that anybody can circumcise, that the Rabbi Yosef Karo said what? Let's go back to the beginning of 22. Hakol kshirim lamul, anybody can circumcise, right? And that first line, im yesh Yisrael gadol shiyodea lamul, who kodim lekulam. If there is an adult Jewish male, who can circumcise? He comes first. Now let's see what Rav Moshe Yishalish now is adding or disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef Karo. V'yeshomrim says that the isha lo tamul, that a woman should not circumcise at all, right? And he calls the smack of Mordechai, and then he says v'chein noagin lahadeh v'charish, and we're careful to prefer a male. What did he say differently, which appears in Rabbi Yosef Karo? No, that's true. But he's saying, but let's focus in on one. Rabbi Yosef Paro said that that anybody can circumcise, but we prefer a male. Comes along Rav Moshe Ishelish, and he says, Rav Moshe say a woman can't circumcise at all, and we're careful that a male should do it. Well, doesn't everybody agree to that? Didn't Rabbi Yosef Paro say that too in the first sentence? What's the difference? What's the difference de facto between their analysis? Which is Rav Moshe Ishelish stuck in a dissenting view. Yeah, but de facto, what did you say? Rabbi Yosef Paro male goes first. Rav Moshe Ishelish were careful that a male should get a male. Excellent. The question is the level of the searching. But you're saying what? What are you going to say? You'd say, or what you're saying is, that if, I'm in my city, I have no males to do it. I'm in a small town, and this happens a great deal. I'm in a small town, there's nobody, there's no bubble here. So according to Rabbi Yosef Paro, what would you do? You get a woman. I go in a surgeon to do the Brit Milah, and she does it the Shem Mitzvah, and it's fine. According to Rav Moshe Ishelish, you go ship him in for the next town.
Or
for the next century. Now we'll talk about how to get right. But the question I just asked is the question of the shach. Now let's see what, so we're not going to read the shach which is spoken out.
But doesn't say that if a woman does it, you have to do.
No. Everybody agrees that the diavad is good. Everybody agrees. Even the Moshe, it's very clear that if the woman did the Brit Milah, it's kosher. Okay, that's the bottom line. The question is, to what extent do we go to try to get a male? So let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan gives exactly your answer, Peter. Well, the Fizeh, the Datam HaChaber, but this is the end, but we're getting the summary. He has a several paragraphs of discussion. He raises the questions and he gives the answer. 24. Well, the Fizeh, the Datam HaChaber, in the Ir Zon Leke Ish, Hayodeh Lamul V'ika Isha, V'vadai, in Mechuyavim L'Shloch, L'Yer Acheret V'Ish. If in this town there is no male, but there is a woman who does, it says, Har Rabbi Yosef Paro, you go to the woman, you don't get trouble. Ship somebody in. Ulezeh, Osef Rabbeinu HaRamah, Dechein, it should be Chein, Dechein HaMinhag, La'adir Achar Ish, the custom is to be scrupulous about getting a male, Klomar, in Ein Ish V'makom HaZeh, Ma'agrin L'Shloach, V'makom Acher, Lavin Moher. Now, how far do you restrict it? So he says, this note says, Ayin Hosafa. Yeah, Hosafa is on the front page. Look at the front page. Something I want to show you. How far do you go to bring a male? So look at the Hosafa on the front page. This comes from a book of Zocher HaBrit, which is one of the earliest and most authoritative pamphlets that, if you're a Moel, you get tested on. That's the book you get tested on. Okay? And what does the book say? Okay, it's a handbook for mom. That's right. But anybody can buy it. Okay? No adin la'adeh achar ish. Got it there at the very bottom of the first page? No adin la'adeh achar ish. V'dafka im yachol ha'ish lavo b'yom ha'shmini. Right? Suppose you're someplace on the North Pole and you can't get somebody from Alaska to come out to the North Pole within 8 days. Right? By dog's life, right? Aval, ilo yadinan iyochol lavo. You're not even sure that he can come on time. B'yom ha'shmini, af agav da'ati lach ha'zman. Even though you know that within 10 days he'll be able to make it, but you're not sure he'll make it. Tamul isha. Because that's already b'diyavad. There's clearly a woman is kosher b'diyavad. Okay? Even according to the Ramah. Question is, if you prefer there. Okay, so that's the question. Now, for instance, I'll give you another case. Suppose you're in a small town, you have to ship the mall in, and you're poor. You don't have the money you can't get the money. So that's also be a deal. It seemingly that would be a debit in which if you can't afford to ship the mall in, so you don't want to be the mall. Okay. Now we have, let's go back to sort of 20. There are two other issues that I want to discuss. Source 25. Now, one of the major, there are several major capacities played, there's kibbutim that you give in a brit. One is to be the baby, OK? Okay. The second, the second is to be the Moel, right? The third is to be the Sanda, to hold the baby when it's being circumcised. Now, the question is whether a woman can be a Sanda. So you say, why not? What's the problem? I mean, just really holding the baby, right? Nowhere in Halacha does it says that the baby has to be still. There's no, I mean, actually, theoretically, there's no fear for a Sanda. But look at the Ramban here today. It says, the Englisha Liyot Sandak, Latino, a woman shouldn't be a Sandak for holding the baby. The Makom Shef Shabish, where a male is available, Mishum Dahami Kapritzut, because it is considered immodest. Now, I want to know what was the immodesty here. I looked, okay? The answer is 2 points. 2 points they mentioned. First of all, that she's standing there. No, first of all, the fact, because the brit was held in the men's section of the shul, generally speaking, and she'd be in the center, she'd be the only woman in, coming into the women's section, and everybody would be looking at her, staring at her. And then they thought it was a mouse. Yes and no. I don't know. I don't think that everybody looks at the moed. The last time I was in a brit, I want to tell you the truth. The last time I was in a brit, I wanted to see, because I was sensitive to this, I wanted to see where my attention was being focused. And the answer is I was looking at the sun. I wasn't looking at the moed, first because the moed's back was to me. And I wasn't looking at the moed, I'm looking at the baby, I'm looking at the sun. Right? Okay, now someone will say to me, wait a second, we're in an open society where we were used to this stuff. All the same arguments that we would talk about, this that we read here, Yudi Hankin, if anybody remembers talking about Yudi Hankin, about are these things society determined? I'm like, answers, they probably are. But there's a sensitivity here, you're in shul, and having a woman being the center of attention is a little bit more problematic. I wouldn't go to say, in our times, I wouldn't call it pritzut, but it's certainly not senua by normative standards, okay? But I must say, our sensitivities are not the same as the mayor in the time of the time of the Rama. Yes. That's true. Yes and no. I mean, look, I've been in many shuls. The men and women were standing around together. It's a very different. Very different situation. I mean, the post can talk about the kfater, okay? The one who brings the baby in. Actually, kfater means my godfather. The baby who carries the baby, you know, they used to have that the kfater's wife would bring it to the, you mean it? Bring it to the baby, can I say? And then
she gets, what?
The last break that I was at was not long ago, was in Chazon Yecheskel, and everybody was in shul. And then women and men went to the shul together. I don't deny it. I'm going to say that the givens of society and the givens of what we're talking about here are very different. But we went through the same type of problem, but with Sheva Bracha, not mixed societies, mixed societies. You know, women being the center of attention, not being the center of attention. I think we're still in a situation where we are hesitant within a synagogue to have women be the center of attention. I'm not saying whether it's regarding the halacha from Mr. Bowie or not. There is a sensitivity. I still think that in many, if there were a situation where you're in a catering hall and the woman was to be a sandik, somebody asked me, is she holler and scream answer? Of course not. You know, you're in a mixed society all the time. It's not the same sensitivities as here. Is it considered normative? No.
I don't think that's a true system.
I could think of a variety. You have another suggestion?
I think that they're talking about something much more basic and fundamental. No.
Yeah, but that's not.
That's what it's
called. You know, I'll be totally honest with you, madam, that's what I thought. Fact that there was a female owning the male that spoke. I thought that was pshat, and I looked in the Maharam. I looked at the source. That's what I said. You said, what did she do with the male section? Everybody there?
I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he's saying.
I I must say that was my gut reaction when I saw it first. That's not from the sources.
Where does it not
say? Because I looked in the actual sources where they discuss what it should do in the mail section. That was all business.
But people with sensitivities more sensitive than ours, maybe the boat has to lean forward and say, oh, it's not the sea, it's the upper one.
No, but that don't mention that about the sanda. Oh.
No, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. They bring this pitzud, I can only quote you what the sources say. There may be other stuff hidden that they don't talk about. And if you feel that that's something that's correct, then fine. I can only call it as I see it. Okay, the next issue is what's called the minyanin factor here. There is a custom in a brit milah to have a minyan present. It's not a requirement, and it's not b'diavad, but we always try to have a minyan present. Question is, as far as that requirement for a minyan, can a woman count?
Yeah.
The answer is, yeah. 26. Sefer Koreh Tavrit. Nashim mitztafot l'minyan asara l'b'milah. They command the minyan, because since they're considered circumcised, they can count for a minyan. The answer that I would normally give, what's the purpose of the minyan? The publicized pursuing this. There's several schools about minyan. One school is that if it's a publication, if the purpose is publicity, then women count for a minyan according to many, many more authorities. So this, the whole purpose of the minyan here is to publicize the performance of a mitzvah. It's like there's a pursuit element here, not a pursuing nisa element, but a pursuit of the performance of a miracle. Therefore, women also would count, and that's one of the reasons. Anyway. Many, many sources are so
interesting.
Yes?
Not much, not a mixed minyan.
So can be mixed too. Yeah, that's when we demonstrated that only the thing that has to be separate for most authority. It certainly can be 10 women. It can certainly be 10 women, but it can even be mixed. Five and five, and the reason is because the only time that we separate that when counting is only by zimun. And zimun, the three and three separate is because of the eating element. There was a special element of food and wine and joviality. But here we're talking about a serious business, a ritual. So any ritual other than zimun, after Brit Milah, where women count for a minyan, they count together with men. Like Mikra Megillah. Shemrachos, that women probably don't count, but I am doing research. That's the one subject that I haven't come, I'm not happy with. I really haven't mastered it. The answer is no, I don't. I don't know yet. You have to describe Shabbat Brachot has to be divided into two groups. Shabbat Brachot of the meal, right? And Shabbat Brachot of the chuppah. Shabbat Brachot of the chuppah is a ritual. Okay? Shabbat Brachot of the meal may be caught up with the Brit Mazal Tov. What is the function of Brachot? Are these a Brit Mitzvah? Are these a Brit Shevach? Whose obligation are they? Are they actually the husband's obligation? It's a very, very complicated. The nature of these brachot, it turns out, can the chassan make the brachos? Or can only the community make the brachos? Right? There are a lot of problems here in the nature of these brachot, and therefore,
Do you have 7
million? No. You want to be, I'll leave it open. Okay. No, but it's clearly preferable. Just like Mikra Megillah, you don't have to have a minyan, but it's clearly, clearly preferable.
And everybody agrees
that. Correct? No. I won't say everybody agrees, There are many, many authorities who say that. Women count as a minion. I would say most authorities, women count for a minion for this requirement of a preferable minion at a brit mila.
What do you mean there are many minions?
To publicize the performance of the base. No, sacred. You don't make that sacred. Okay? With that, we have concluded with Mila. All right. Now, let's now turn to the Articles of Jewish Action. Jewish Action, let me sort of summarize the four articles, and then we'll get into some of the discussion areas. There are four articles here. One is an article by Rabbi Adam Mintz, entitled Call Towards a Constructive Dialogue. Okay, Constructive Dialogue, in which he is trying to set down the groundwork, the framework for having a constructive dialogue between those who are pro and those who are con, women's prayer groups and feminist developments. That's the first article. I'll come back and we'll discuss it. The second article is by Rabbi Emanuel Feldman. Rabbi Adam Mintz, if I'm not mistaken, is now the rabbi at Yonkin Square Synagogue. Right, yeah. The second is Rabbi Emanuel Feldman. Rabbi Feldman was the rabbi in Atlanta and is now the editor of Tradition. Anybody who reads what he writes beautifully. Thinks beautifully, writes beautifully. He's generally considered right of center. Okay, and it is Belt and Chow. But that's neither here nor there. Kabele ha'emet mimi shamos is the problem. Accept the truth from where it comes. And he is a very clear thinker and a beautiful, beautiful writer. And he takes issue with feminism while being sensitive, you read the article, we'll come back to it, sensitive to the needs that they express, to sometimes the insults that he feels that women, many women have suffered, nevertheless he feels that Orthodox feminism in ideology veers away from what he believes is a Jewish Weltanschauung, Jewish worldview. Okay? And we'll get into that because that is a very meaty article. Very, very good article. The third article is by Chana Henkin. And Chana Henkin is writing about her UXL program. Right, where she feels, okay, where she works very hard, and we'll come back to this point also, works very hard not to come off as a feminist. In fact, in the first sentence she starts off, when my husband and I moved to Beit Shan. And I must tell you that I stood there with my mouth open. Why is it relevant to the rest of the discussion that she moved with her husband? Now that is a very conscious, I'm not a feminist statement. I'm married, I have a husband, I'm traditional, etc. She's a missus. She's a missus, really. Oh, she's really a reminiscent. But anyway, the point is here that there is room for women growth within Judaism, and it doesn't have to be feministic. And she's very aware, she's very careful, and as we go through, we'll talk about her. It's also a very nicely written article. The last article is probably the most moving article, an article by a woman by the name Batya Gold, which is a pseudonym. It's not her real name. This is about a Haredi woman who enjoys dancing at Silver Star with the Scimitar. Do her something. And she talks about it, and the question here is the dichotomy here, the clash between values between her and the need to dance with the Scimitar and her clearly Haredi life. In the background looms a distinguished rug who gave her a heter to do it.
And asked not to be
acknowledged. Right? And we'll talk about it. Hold on, lady. We're not going to do it all in the next year. She said, what are your appetites? Not everybody did their homework. I also got several emails of people who couldn't hold back and write me. Anyway. She made clear what her motivation was, that the rub was forthcoming, right?
She made her friend, right. She had already gotten her upset.
No, but her friend, if you read the article, her friend is really a lefty. Not lefty, but her friend was astute enough to realize what was bothering the post-sec, and therefore was praying, in a sense, to...
Not trivial.
there's a lot of question of public policy. Is it good for the Jews or is it bad for the Jews? Is it the way we should put it up? It's not, there's a public policy issue. Is the rabbi, local Orthodox rabbi, capable enough to make these decisions which may affect all of Israel? And that's one of the fundamental issues here which has to be dealt with. If you were to ask me, I think that Rabbi Mintz does not feel that you have to go all the way up to the ladder, that you don't have to go to the rabbis Feinstein and Auerbach and Waldenberg, to the Badi Yosef, these are first line posting. That you should need a Talmud Chacham, yes, the Mashiach, you don't need the first line. Others clearly say, no, these are things that involve the evolution of a woman's role. You have to talk to somebody who's a little much more a serious scholar in order to weigh. You need to go to other people, you know, like a Ravaro Lichtensteiner, or Nachum Rabinowitz. People who are, you know, much higher caliber than your local Orthodox rabbi to make decisions on it.
And I'm afraid that he generally, you know,
consults with other people, works up the ladder for me, gets Shiloh.
But
it's
the minister's responsibility to know when to consent.
No, the rabbi
when he can say something
to,
like that, when he has to go to the higher.
You would think so.
You
would think so. But I want you to know that unfortunately that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen because the question is, what's the question? Is this over my head or isn't this over my head? And especially when it deals with a public policy issue. Suppose you analyze a tshuva, shaila, and you say, you know, I don't see a problem. But if you were to go to a posel whose job is to answer community, he's now a rabbi. A posel, what's a posel? A posel is a rabbi's rabbi. He sees what's going on in the Jewish community. Let me just give you another example that actually happened. I was rabbi at Arpil. Okay? And I got a shayla about a husband came to me crying that his wife. This is a very complicated child. Somebody called him on the phone, that he was sleeping with his wife. Then a phone call, he was sleeping with his wife. And when he confronted his wife said there was chibuk nisha, there was caressing, but there was no sexual relation whatsoever. Okay? And the rabbi and the husband believed the wife. They were having sexual problems. And the husband was aware of his mind. She had befriended somebody at work, and this person had showered gifts on her. And then she attempted to break off the relationship. She felt that she had stepped over the mark too much, but she gave the gifts back. But this man gave all sorts of, this, on the guy on the phone, gave all sorts of simonimans on this and this day. She had her period, and this is the sanitary napkin she uses, etc., etc. All sorts of things that really. So you have to understand, I was, at that time, 25 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a rabbi. Now, at that point, I knew I was over my head. Okay, let me explain to you. So at the point I said, turns out that this man who was on the phone was not Jewish, and there were no witnesses, and the husband believed the wife, so I said, look, based on the laws of Sukkot Sotah, that I know there's probably no problem. There's no witnesses. You believe your wife. There's no evidence. There's all sorts of ways he could have known that she had her period for a variety of other things, but it's irrelevant. And she could have commented that she had a stomach ache, or she had commented on something, and he makes it, and all sorts of ways that he could have known, and he kept the evidence, etc. And he was just bitter with her for breaking it off, and said, I said, but there's no way I'm going to touch this. Right? I'm going to go call my Rebbe, Reb W. Cohen. So I call my Rebbe, Reb W. Cohen, and Reb W. Cohen is a posek. And he said to me, what's the analysis? And he said, yeah, this is the analysis. It's probably no problem. And so she believes her, etc. He says, but there's no way I'm going to touch this. I'm going to go ask Reb Moshe Feinstein. So he called her Moshe Feinstein. So I'm in Boston, and this Reb W. Cohen is in New York. He's going to Reb Moshe Feinstein, and he goes to the thing, and Reb Moshe tells him that the analysis is correct. And then Reb David says, you'll forgive me, Rebbe, for bring these type of questions to you. So Reb Moshe laughed. So Reb David said to Reb Moshe, why are you laughing? He says, I get the Shiloh once a month. This exact show was up. And in fact, we took out a vial of the last round of the motion of an essay. This Shiloh is in there. That's the Shiloh I asked. But the exact same duplicate of it. They didn't work in this job, they worked in that job, and this question, that question.
Wow.
Now you think about it, that
there's a lot of hate people.
No. First of all, there are a lot of Jews out there.
Yeah.
A lot of Jews out there. Who's going to have the least shyness? Maybe four people in the whole world? Five people in the whole world? These are your first class postings. I can name you. I can name you on one hand the poskim that are going to get the shot, Moshe Feinstein, Waldenberg, you know, Rabbi Yosef, the Menashe Klein. That is a very painful question that you're asking. Yes, there are not as many as you might guess. There are. Right now we have Rabbi Lichtenstein and Menachem Rabinowitz. You have them. There are a couple others that are coming up. There's still the problem is that Moshe Feinstein is not a fascinating form. And these other people. But we were blessed. I don't know. We were blessed. We were cursed. We lost a lot during the Holocaust. But I don't know. I don't want to tell you. And I don't know why America is living in times of enormous wealth. And we have more Lone Daytona now than we've ever had in all of Jewish history. And I don't see the Gedolei Torah. I don't see that our investment per se in Gedolei Torah is made up. They point out that we have more knowledge in our generation. The average Balabas is much more educated. But the effect of the cream rising to the top, I don't see. And it's paying me a great deal. And I have all sorts of theories which are neither here nor there. But I'm trying to point out is that Moshe Feinstein was not naive. I mean, he knows what's going on. If you're talking about a sexual revolution, he's seen, right? He gets it filtered through the Orthodox community, but it's there, the shot has come to him, and he knows what's going on. Then we're talking about people like that who have responsibility for the Jewish community, who shallots that may affect the future Jewish community. I mean, they have a general perspective of what's going on in the world. They're not in an ivory tower, as people tend to think. That's not true at all. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was clearly, read now about the Takashavis again, how he had such a tremendous engineering and understanding of something. People said that if he weren't the God of the Torah, he would have been a Nobel Prize winning engineer. And he was just brilliant in under grasp of science and engineering and the like, and said about Trebebi. Anyway. So the question is, who was to make decisions of this nature? Now, we don't have a Sanhedrin, and therefore there's been a lot of dispersal of power to the Jewish community. And the attitude is, my rabbi says it's mutter, therefore it's mutter. In many ways, there is a local, you know, every rabbi is king in his community, as long as his board of directors allows him to be. But the fact that it's a certain reason, from a certain perspective, that is true. The question is, should they be making decisions of that nature? And I must tell you, in all honesty, when I was a young rabbi at Harvard Hillel, I made all sorts of brash decisions, which I cringe at now, because I wasn't sensitive to the, I think the decisions I made were right, but I cringe at the fact that I made them without consulting the Soloveitchik, who was not in the closet. I could have, you know, on the one hand, I was intimidated by Rav Soloveitchik, right? But I wasn't intimidated by the Shaila. It should have been, okay. And that's because of my youth and my immaturity. And I thought I knew, you know, I thought I knew enough. That's the problem. I think that's part of the problem, the sensitivity of not being, and I'm not saying that every rabbi has to run to a post like in every shiva, like there are Jews who won't make any halakha, to open and shut in Shulchan Aruch, open and shut in the Mishnah Berurah, and they're running to the local to drop and ask him what's the halakha. All right. Sometimes you run to you run to a rabbi and you get all sorts of insights because of things that you're not weren't aware of. All right, but you have to live your life where every religious decision you make, after all, most of us, Baruch Hashem, were raised from homes, and our parents raised us properly, and most of us were blessed with yeshiva education, and the purpose of education was to educate us so we wouldn't have to run to Rabbi for every shiva. But there are certain times where a shiva has to be asked, and we have to know to ask the shivas, and there are certain times that a rabbi has to say, this is not my need. I just can't answer. And not always is the rabbi willing to answer the question because the Baal HaBatim say, if you're not willing to answer, why are you our rabbi? Why don't we need you?
The hospital is that you can go to for a sore throat or the flu,
Or if you need surgery, then you go to the biggest specialist possible. And I think it's a very valid thing.
Yeah, but that's what you need, a qualified doctor who's going to say, you know, this is really, you should go to the specialist, right? I mean, I went to my local Quebec home doctor, and I asked this for my heart, and he says, you know, I said, do I need to go to a cardiologist? He says, I'll tell you to do exactly what I'm telling you to do. Take an EKG, take this, take that, take that. He said, you want to go see it? Go see it. Right? Now, he felt that he was capable enough to do the same thing. I'm not convinced. But, after all, it's my life, right?
Okay,
I still haven't seen a cardiologist yet, but
he would say the same thing with the local rabbi.
Otherwise, you can't go to
clinic.
Right.
And he's not simple, and in his respect to another, and then he has learned enough to sit in that position, otherwise you can't go to clinic.
But I can tell you, I can
trust him to go further.
So let me say something.
That's true.
But let me make it clear that, at least on the women's issue, okay, and I've been living this issue for a very long time, I feel that a lot of the early people, the prostitutes, part of the problem was that there were rabbis, that it was such a revolution that the rabbis didn't know how to handle it. And they essentially refused to pass. Now, Rivka Hout, in the early 70s, and Rivka and I don't see eye to eye on anything. But on this, she's 1,000% correct. She said to the rabbis, if you refuse to pass on this issue, people are going to stop asking you shots. Or they're going to go to any rabbi who will. That any rabbi who was willing to paskin was followed, and in many cases they were not the type of people who should have paskin these issues, but they weren't getting any guidance. They turned to their colleagues. They could talk to their colleagues. Their colleagues wouldn't, many wouldn't answer. They felt that they went up the chain. The up the chain wouldn't listen or wouldn't respond or wouldn't. They were driven. I don't think that they were driven by the fear that the women of the community would throw them out. This is a case of tremendous ava. They really had compassion for these women. They recognized the need, and they felt that these women needed guidance, and there was no, they didn't have guidance. So instead of saying, look, you'll just have to be patient until this calms down a little bit and we can do it. This was a case, I think, of an ava, a commitment to Shiva. There's a tremendous compassion and sensitivity. Force them to make decisions that I don't believe were Allah be the sound. And I think if they'd done more fundamental research, they would have seen themselves that it wasn't. And in particular cases, they got guidance, which they gave answers that were clearly against guidance they got from Tibet. That when Soloveitchik and when Moshe were consulted, they told them not to do it. They wouldn't do it anymore. That's problematic, and that's a question of sensitivity. I think it's really a case of ahava mekalkelet teshuva, going overboard because of too much love. And so I don't think, I don't think this issue of how to define respected and responsible is such a trivial issue. And he tries to sweep it on the table, and it's like the version and the diversity. I think that's all true, but I think that is a fundamental issue.
We should be
Because how many Jews do you think there were? Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, first of all, the rabbis in the bigger cities, that's not true that in every school shtuk they had a rabbi. In many cities they had rabbis. But the fact of the matter is that they moved from city to city, and then they got to the bigger cities, you had really gedolim. There were, I don't know how many rabbis there were. First of all, you expect if you're a rabbi in most American communities, in England as well, to be a lot more knowledgeable in secular studies. You wouldn't expect a rabbi in your local community who didn't have a doctorate in something. Judaic studies. Oh, definitely. I don't know. Maybe. I think it's pretty much true in the United States. There is no distinguished rabbi who doesn't have some degree, at least a doctorate in Judaic studies. Not everybody can be a rabbi. Let's think of the doctorate in English literature, but it's also a philosophy. I think, look, 100 years ago, they didn't spend their childhood watching Sesame Street. There was a much more embodying. They didn't spend secular studies, they didn't learn trigonometry and algebra. They spent a lot more time in the whole educational system during Torah. And a lot of these people, they were much more knowledgeable. I don't think your average rabbi could write the tshuvot that you have that were written 100 years ago. I just don't think so. But it's also true that, there was a filtering process. It has to do with the whole level of Torah knowledge nowadays in general. But I think the expectations of a rav nowadays are, you really want a community organizer, you want somebody who speaks well, who can talk about current events. I don't think that was the rub. The rub's job of the city wasn't always to give drushes. The rub's job is to be service and dayan in the community. How many rabbis serve as dayan?
You know, rabbi
dayan
gave two drushes.
He was a dayan, he passed the Shabbos. That was his job. He was a full time. He didn't organize the youth activities. He was in charge of the Hebrew community. He was in charge of the. There are a lot of other capacities you expect of an average rabbi in the community, which you didn't expect in 100 years, 500 years ago. I just think that the nature of society demands it. That doesn't make them any less spiritual individual, any less scholars, and less. But in that specialty of Limud HaTorah and knowledge, they're not the same caliber, and the demands are not the same caliber. And I don't mean it. I don't know if a rabbi would know what his limits are. I'm not so sure. We need more than that. If we have a good gedolim, we have good rabbis who knew good general practitioners who know how to shulchan aruch, know yeridei, and know the basic texts, right? When he gets to a shadow that acts beyond his skin, he'll know. He'll ask the right shadow. So I don't. I think that this issue, that's we're going beyond time, I think this issue of a respected response, a lack of authority, is much more problematic than we may suppose. Well, please, those who haven't read the articles, please do so. I will continue to try to look at a lot of lessons. By the way, this article that says by Linzer, either return or bring back next week. We have to have a deal. You might as well read it too. That's a tshuva that we read from Rav Moshe Feinstein about feminism, and now it's in English.
I'm going to read it
on the issue of motivation. Why motivation? You can take it on.
There was a very good Yeah, that's a fucking...
Yeah, but you should tell me, because I intended to...